You're listening to Practical Living, right here on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. I'm your host for the day, Dumisani Mfune. It's Friday. Almost the end of another week. I have lots to help you usher in the Sabbath. You will hear the testimony of a lady who looked death straight in the face and God brought her back from a terrible ordeal.
While being conscious, I heard a man saying, "This person is dead in this car. And if you can see the photos, you will really think that I have died there."
We're also going to talk about your health and what you can do to have a very fulfilling and long life. We'll also hear from Pastor Ding and the lessons that he has drawn from Abraham and the experience that Abraham had when he met angels. But before we go any further, do you know that God has angels that take care of us in everything that we do? You're going to hear a heart-touching testimony from someone that I happen to know personally who was involved in a near-death experience. It is only through the power of God that she's alive to tell her story. Coming up next is Mrs. Lowe. We hear stories of God protecting people who, as we look at them, you know, should have died. And we wonder how that happens. And we hear these stories, but it's only until it happens to someone that you know that you really appreciate God's protective hand. And you come to realize that angels are real and they do protect us. I have a very special lady, Mrs. Lowe, who was involved in a near-death accident. I'll let her tell us some of the highlights of this accident. But when we heard it, we just thought that there was no hope. And a few months later, here she is, able to walk and talk. Mrs. Lowe, thank you.
I'm Mrs. Isabel Lowe. I was involved in this accident on the 3rd of June, 2010. While being conscious, I heard a man saying, "This person is dead in this car. And if you can see the photos, you will really think that I have died there. But God is great." My grandson, Joshua, was also in the car. He was at the back. He didn't have a scratch on him, just his head. There was a small cut, that's all. But God has carried me through. I've had my liver was dysfunctioning. My heart stopped twice while on the operating table. And I couldn't breathe by myself. My kidneys gave in. And doctors even say today I'm a miracle, but it's because of all the prayers. My colleagues here at Heidelberg, they've been praying, they've been sending out emails. And God is still a miracle-working God. That's all I can say. All praise to Him.
Can you just give us, if you remember, like, you know, how this accident happened? And, I mean, the fact that your heart stopped twice, and at the site of the accident, someone just said that you're dead. Can you just briefly tell us how this accident happened, if you remember?
When I looked to the left, to the right, left again, there were no cars. It was at Fairgrove Station. But as I crossed, this car just knocked me. And then I heard Joshua saying, "Ma." I said, "Yes, Joshua, been involved in an accident." And immediately, somebody came to the car and asked, "Who can I contact?" I said, "Dr. Lucidi and Mr. Lawrence." While I was conscious, they came. And then I gave them my ID number for Dr. Lucidi to phone the insurance. And Mr. Lawrence spoke to me, and there was an AVS worker, a missionary volunteer. And I just saw his lips moving, praying for me all the time. They took me to a fair gelegene medic clinic, and they said, no, they can't help me. They just gave me some blood, and I was unconscious. Then my daughters told me that they airlifted me to Groote Schuur. There they worked on my liver and whatever was wrong with me, and I was unconscious for 3 weeks.
For those of you who may not be familiar with these names, MediClinic is the big hospital in Somerset West. And this is where a lot of the big cases in this area are taken to. And the other hospital, Groote Schuur, it's a big hospital. That's where the real big cases in even, you know, Western Cape are referred to. So if you're told that you have to be taken to Groote Schuur, then you know that your situation is serious. Now, you said that you were unconscious for 3 weeks.
Yes. During this time, I didn't know what was going on because I was unconscious. And when I woke up, I just felt it was hurting here behind my head. When I asked my daughter, she said, Mommy, there's a hole. And when the sister came to look, they discovered there was glass in my head. But they put the ointment on and a heavy plaster ointment to draw the glass out. And thank God today, even they said it didn't affect my memory. Short-term memory, yes, but I can remember things and I can talk. It didn't affect my speech. My voice, yes, because of all the pipes that went down. And I just read an email Dr. Dupree sent during December month that they wanted to operate on me, but they couldn't because my liver and my lungs were infected. So they first had to drain all that moisture from my lungs before they could operate. And they said I looked terrible with all the machines and pipes in within hospital.
So here's someone who is involved in a life-threatening accident. The liver fails, the lungs are affected, there's glass in her head, her heart stops twice during surgery, and today I am looking at her. She has regained all her weight. She has her beautiful smile again. She's able to talk, able to walk without crutches. There's pain here and there, but for the most part, what I'm looking at is a miracle, is a testimony to the power of God, but also to the power of intercessory prayer. What would your closing remarks be, Mrs. Lowe?
All the pain that you heard about now is because a pelvic bone is cracked in 5 places. But doctor told me that will heal. I can give God all the glory. The liver is still not functioning properly, but with prayer I know it will, and the pelvic bones will grow together again. And I just want to say, believe in prayer, and it's good to know there's a family, Christian family, from church who has been praying for me, and I can just thank God from day to day, and I'm enjoying my work here again at Heidelberg.
You say that you still give God the glory despite all that you have gone through. What gives you the courage to be able to say, despite all this, you give God the glory?
Because I know life is a ball game, and we just see the part of the field where we are kicking the ball, but God sees a bigger picture, and I know He has plans for me. And just this morning I told the high school girls when I had worship with them that God is solid as a rock, and to know that He is there, no matter if we doubt or go through trials, He is the same every day, and that is my belief, and that's why I can say I give Him the glory.
Thank you so much for your time, Mrs. Lowe.
Thank you. And God bless you all.
You're listening to Practical Living right here on Adventist World Radio. That was Mrs. Lowe telling us how God rescued her from death. Have you or someone that you know personally been involved in a near-death experience? Why don't you tell us about it? Later on in the program, I'll give you the address that you can use to tell us your story, and then we'll tell everyone else your story. Let people be encouraged by what God has done for you. Coming up next on
practical living. It's practical health. That's right. On Fridays, we have practical health. And this is a part of the show where you will learn to be healthier. We'll talk of the lifestyle changes that you need to make to ensure that you live a nice, fulfilling life. And to take us through this journey will be Dawn and Rochelle. I hope you enjoy it, because I did. Up next is Practical Health.
Hello and welcome to Practical Health. Today in the studio with me, I have Rochelle. Rochelle, can you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, I'm Rochelle Stander, a student at the Be Free Lifestyle Center in the Western Cape, South Africa.
Oh, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, today is quite an interesting day because I believe that a lot of people will be enlightened by this episode today, because I was actually enlightened as I was going through the material, you know. What is health?
Well, health is, according to my current understanding, the blending of our physical, emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual resources as they assist you in mastering the tasks necessary for you to enjoy a satisfying and productive life.
Mm.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is.
But if you can say it more simply, it's not just not being sick.
Yes.
You know, maybe we should go a bit into what health isn't. You know, a lot of people think that if they go to the doctor and he does an examination and he says there's nothing wrong, then you're healthy. Mm. But yet, when you go home, you still feel tired and you still feel like you could just sleep all day or anything or something like that. And I currently believe that a lot of people are what I'd like to call vertically ill.
Mm.
We can stand up, but we're still ill. We're you know, most people only recognize somebody when they're diagonally ill, when they're lying in bed with an illness.
Mm.
But it's having that health, to me, is having that vitality of life and the abundance of energy, not just the entry-level amount of energy to get you through the day, you know?
Mm. Okay. Well, that's interesting. So you're saying, in essence, that health is more like a holistic thing. It doesn't just... Yeah, holistic, and in the sense that it's not just one element. So, like, in the sense that if you don't go to the doctor for a while, you go to the doctor and he says you're healthy, then it doesn't necessarily mean you're healthy, because you might maybe have spiritual challenges or emotional challenges or...
Yes, that's true. But I also want to say, on a physical note,
yes,
just because you don't have any diseases manifesting themselves doesn't mean that you're necessarily healthy. And just because you don't have an obvious disease doesn't mean that your body is functioning at an optimal level, just from a purely physical point of view as well.
Okay.
I acknowledge that you need to be spiritually, emotionally, and mentally healthy and, you know, everything. But your body as well, you can not be diseased with something, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you are what you can be.
You're scaring me now, because I cycle up the hill every day. So, I mean, I haven't been to the doctor in quite a while, so I like to think I'm healthy. I think, yeah. I'm socially healthy and emotionally healthy, I suppose.
True.
But yeah, I think it's quite interesting to look at it from the way that you're taking it right now, because I suppose a lot of people, you know, out in the communities, in the rural areas, they just live life and they're not so worried about many things, and hence some of them actually live longer, you know, because they kind of encompass that whole, that holistic approach that you're talking about, because normally their physical health is well, because they do chores around the house, their social health is also good because they live with their family close by, and most of them are spiritual as well, you know, so it's quite interesting that they end up living much longer lives than some people in the urban areas, because you find that, you know, people are struck with busy life and
not only do they live a longer life, they live a more satisfying life.
A satisfying
because
life,
they have relationships that work.
They
eat food, whole foods,
yes,
and they don't experience a lot of the common Western lifestyle diseases like cancer and diabetes and high blood pressure and all those things, because they have a whole grain, whole foods diet.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's interesting, eh? Because I realize, like, even what you're saying, a lot of people don't even have appreciation for what they have out there because they grow their own crops with natural fertilizers and stuff. And yet here we're so on a frenzy of organic foods, yet they already have it organic, but they don't even know it, you know. So I think it's important for them as well to realize that what they have is special and they must keep it and keep going at it. Yeah, it's interesting, like, you know, this whole discussion of health, because I actually thought vegetarianism was the crux of health. So once you've conquered being a vegetarian, I mean, meat, and you've become a vegetarian, then, you know, you've almost won it. But according to what you're saying right now, it's actually seems to be more.
It might at the beginning sound like a whole, you know, like this new revelation, and it's going to be so many things that I have to learn and everything, but it's very simple. There are a few basics that you just need to keep in mind and learn to live by, and you'll be able to experience true health, optimal living.
Oh, that's great. That's actually nice. So, in essence, you know, there's no specific group that is supposed to be, I mean, if health is not just for the rich.
The conclusion we have come to at the Lifestyle Center is that if God has designed a lifestyle for people, then it must be able to fit all cultural and groups, all financial groups. It must be able to suit everyone. This must be a lifestyle that anybody can do. And we have had some amazing discoveries, and just it's been an amazing discovery to see that God is behind all of this and that everybody can live a healthy lifestyle if they would follow God's plans revealed to us in the Bible.
That's interesting, because hopefully we're going to be discussing some more practical, you know, ways of assisting people to be more healthy and actually more aware and conscious of what health is, you know, because I hope that in the future episodes will be able to discuss, you know, the composition of health. Like, we've already discussed now some of the issues, but like maybe really try and go in depth and not just discuss composition, but discuss a whole lot of other issues, including nutrition.
We can explore topics that are really going to make the difference in certain aspects of our health, and there are quite a few of them, and I'm sure that the listeners will find them thought-provoking and quite interesting.
Well, you've had it for yourself. Join us again in the next episode. Please do join us.
For those of you that have just joined us, you're listening to Practical Living on your practical station, Adventist World Radio, and that was Don and Rochelle giving us a little insight into what constitutes a healthy lifestyle. If you have any questions on that, on what it means to be socially healthy, spiritually, physically healthy, write in. We have a lot of material that we're waiting to give you. Our mailing address is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West 7129. Coming up next is Pastor Ding with a wonderful, inspiring message, a lesson that he's learned from Abraham. Up next is Pastor Ding.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ding. For the next couple of days, let us share together about the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Yes, we do have a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen found in the Bible. Oh, the Bible. Yes, this is a compilation of inspired word. In fact, the Bible is the very word of God. Isn't that beautiful? And we get to read it anytime we want to. The first book of the Bible is Genesis. And this is where we will find our story today. Abraham. The book of Genesis, chapter 18. We find that Abraham was visited. And the visitors who had come were actually angels. and their sole purpose for coming to this earth was to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, these were such wicked cities. In fact, the people there were so bad. You had homosexuals, you had people who just followed their heart's desires. Whatever it was that they wanted to do, they would go after it. And God wasn't happy with this. He was really displeased. So he said, you know what? These people need to learn their lesson. And so he sends these angels to come and destroy the city. Oh, but Abraham remembered that he had a relative there. Like, Lot is there and his family is there. And so when the angels had gone, Abraham was left in the presence of the Lord. And you can take this down so that you can refer to it later. It comes from Genesis chapter 18. And let us start from verse 16 going down. You will find that while Abraham was in the presence of the Lord, he decided to have a conversation with God. And he says, you know, Lord, I understand who I am and who you are. And it may not be my area, but I know you are such a loving God. Tell me, if you found 50 righteous people in the city, a loving God such as you, would you destroy the city? Oh, and God says, well, if I found 50 righteous, no, I would not destroy the city. And Abraham, well, he gets a little braver and he says, Lord, what if you found 5 less than that 50? Would you destroy the city? God says, well, if there were those 45 people, no, I wouldn't destroy the city. And I'm sure at this point, you know, Abraham's kind of shy because, you know, he realizes that he's just human and he's probably, you know, scratching his head, looking at the ground and saying, well, Lord, you know, this is not my place to, I'm just human, but allow me to ask this, if there was 5 less, would you destroy the city? And you find that as this conversation goes on and on, Abraham keeps subtracting 5 people from there. And God keeps telling him, Abraham, if I find 30, 25, 20, until he reaches 10, he says, I will not destroy the city. But something interesting here. You read that Abraham stopped asking at number 10. But I ask a question. By the time that Abraham stopped asking, had God stopped granting? No. Abraham stopped asking before God stopped granting. There was a man who used to go around and he used to try to disprove God. Oh, God does not exist. God is not real. And so he would go to different countries and he would talk about God. And telling people, you know, scientific facts on how God is not real. One day, in one of his lecture halls, oh, and I'm telling you, it was packed full. People had heard about him. So as he was giving this lecture, at the end, as he always did, time after time, he would ask if there was anyone who would want to come up and, you know, show that there is a God. This particular day, when he asked that, from the very back of the hall, they heard footsteps. And everyone went silent. And an old man carrying a basket started to make his way to the front. And when he got to the front, he took out his basket. As he opened the basket, he pulled out a fruit and he started to eat it. When he finished, he asked the man, "Tell me, sir, was my fruit sweet or sour?" The man said, "How am I to know when I didn't taste it?" And he said, "So it is about my God. You cannot know if he's good or not if you have not tasted it." David writes in the Bible and he says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." We need to ask from God whatever it is that we desire. Do we need money? Are we in financial difficulties? Do we need wisdom? Are we sick? Whatever help we need, it can come from God.
That was Pastor Ding reminding us of what happened with Abraham, but also encouraging us to go a step further than Abraham, and we should continue asking God, because more often than not, God is still willing to give, but we stop asking. If you've had a different experience with God's providence, let us know about it. You can write to us. Our email address is awr@sidmedia.org. That's awr@sidmedia.org. You can also write to us. Our postal address is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. That's Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. Guys, unfortunately, that's all the time that I have. It has been fun being with you, and I was your host, Dumisani Mfune. Remember that we give you practical tips and practical advice that will keep you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, God bless.